Before we get in the message, we're going to have a prayer in just a second, but our text today is from the book of Acts, and I've got a bunch of different things flowing through my head, but I'm going to keep it on track, hopefully. Before we get in the message of God's Word, let's pray. Father, it is good to be a child of God, because there's nothing better than that, Lord. And I pray right now as the bread of life is broken, your living word, that you would, Holy Spirit, drive it home to our hearts, including mine, and let us get on fire and passionate about the things that are passionate for you. Burden us with the things that you're burdened by, Lord. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, and be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, the message is called Finish the Race. I may repeat that again. But in Hebrews 13:7, we read, Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And I was thinking of a couple of leaders that really impacted my life, Reverend Herbert Moll. Church I grew up in, I walked away from God for quite a while, but I remember going back to a counseling session with him. I just want to talk to him for a while. It wasn't formally a counseling session. He come out from behind his desk and says, grabs me and gives me a hug and says, God loves you and so do I. That guy really had an impact on my life. And then another one was Dan Driggs. But when I read that verse, I think of the many leaders who've spoken God's word, as I just said, into my life over the years. But I want us to hear tonight from a determined and single-minded man, strong in faith, a humble leader who, though still speaking to us, even though he is dead, and he speaks through God's word. And I want us to consider his way of life. I want us to imitate him. He's the one who said, imitate Christ, that imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the impact he left is phenomenal. And I want to encourage each of us here this morning to have the passion that the Apostle Paul had. I want us to do that, not just on Sunday morning, but I'm talking about week long. It's real easy to be a Sunday morning Christian, Sunday evening Christian. And it's real hard, though, to put it into practice 7 days a week, but that's what our Lord has called us to do. So we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. The main text of the message is Acts 20:24, and I'll get into that in a moment. But Paul had a burden. And what was this burden? What was the burning passion that drove him daily through all sorts of struggles and perils? It was the ministry the Lord entrusted him with. Paul essentially says, I have one thing in this life that I'm dedicated to. I want to finish the race. I want to complete the task God has given to me, telling people of the good news of God's undeserved love, because the love of God had appeared to him on that road to Damascus that he was going to persecute the church. And that love compelled him throughout the days of his life to finish the race and complete the task. To tell the good news that even though we are sinners separated from God and there's a Grand Canyon-sized gulf between God and us, we're like right here, let's say this is God, holy, perfect, pristine, pure, and this is us, we're not. The gap between the two is wide. We can't bridge it ourselves. We try all kinds of different things. We build little bridges to try to reach the other side toward God, don't we? We do religion. We do good works. We try to do that with money or status or power. I don't know. We fill it with all kinds of things and try to get to God with all kinds of ways, but none of us does ourselves any good trying to do that, because, you see, Jesus bridged that gulf, and that's the message that Paul had, and that's the message I want us to have sunk into our hearts tonight as we go forth from here. I mean, James has talked so wonderfully since I've been part of this congregation about journeying with Christ and doing the things Christ did and proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. And certainly Paul followed Jesus. And I want us to really get more and more serious about doing this following Christ and proclaiming the good news. J.I. Packer said, with regard to his late friend John Stott, who was a Christian leader and a pastor, John Stott's entire life's goal was to banish apathy. I think a lot of the American church is apathetic. We're kind of at ease. I know when World War II, just before it began, you know, it was bombed. We were bombed by the Japanese, and the Japanese admiral was named Isoroku Yamamoto. And he had studied in the United States, and he said to one of his officers, he said, I fear that we have woke up a sleeping giant. Well, I tell you what, it's time the Church of Jesus Christ, which is a sleeping giant in America, wakes up. When we've got 6,000 first-run movie theaters in America, and we've got 300,000 or more churches, and who has greater influence in our society, the movies or the church, then that's a problem. So what we have to do, though, is do what Paul did. He pressed into Jesus, and then he pressed on with the mission of sharing the gospel of grace. So my goal tonight is to banish apathy in me and us as the church, that we would care about this world and its people as much as God does. And how much did he care? He sent his only son to die in the midst of our sin on a Roman cross. Well, Paul didn't allow himself to slip into that kind of danger, apathy. But let me ask us all tonight, do we have a single-minded purpose in our life with regard to completing the task the Lord has given you? And you ask, I've hinted at it, what's the task? I've actually more than hinted at it. Let me inform you, it's a task that Paul had. And I've heard a lot of people when I used to pastor full-time, well, you know, Paul was called, that was his calling, that's not mine. Wrong answer. You almost need a buzzer then. Wrong answer. That's your call too. Now he has his looks a little bit differently than ours. He was an apostolic church planter. He was actually an apostle, which means one commissioned by Jesus Christ who had been with Jesus and sent out by Jesus. And we've not actually been with Jesus in the sense that he was and or the other apostles and sent out by Jesus as apostles, but all of us have been sent out to declare this message, the death of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That's essentially the gospel. Dr. Larry Moyer says you can say the gospel in 10 words. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. That's 10 words. And that's really, you know, it can go deeper than that. But that essentially is the message that Paul had. It was the message of the cross that he proclaimed time and time and time again, regardless of peril, regardless of obstacles, regardless of difficulty. That was his message. I think if we woke the Apostle Paul up at midnight and said, and he would start talking about the gospel. When he got out of bed in the morning, what was the first thing he did? He thought about the people who didn't have Jesus, who were dying in their sins. And I know that's a burden that Pastor James has, and that's my burden today as well. In fact, I ran into Pastor Nikki at the Burger Fest today, and I said, how can I pray for you, Nikki? And he goes, I can't imitate his Scottish accent, but he said, I'd love to. Well, that would really be cool preaching in Scottish, wouldn't it? And he said, I want to have more of a burden for the lost. And I said, that's awesome. So we prayed that he would have more of a burden for people who are dying in their sins all around him. And we prayed that God would take his burden and put it on the shoulders of Nikki and the rest of us as well. So I think that would be the way Paul would pray for us right now if he was here. Well, before looking at the text, let me attempt to put it more in context. Christ Jesus said in Matthew 16, 16:18, he said, I will build my church. And this is, of course, before he went to the cross and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And at the beginning of Acts, which we could also, of course, call the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because we see the Spirit propelling the church throughout there and building his church, we see that Christ descends in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit descends in chapter 2. Again, Jesus said, I will build my church. And in Acts, we see the very thing happening through the Spirit of Jesus who is with the disciples and now that Jesus had departed. And I want to remind you that the very same Jesus who was with John the Apostle, Peter the Apostle, every other apostle is with you right now, is with every believer in Jesus Christ right now, the very same Jesus. He is not in the flesh, yet no, he is in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who resides in us. So when I go out to share my faith or I go out to talk to somebody about Jesus, I'm not by myself, even if I'm by myself, because Jesus is with me. If you think in those terms, doesn't it make it easier to share Christ? I'm going out tonight to share Jesus, and I've got him with me. That kind of gives us a different perspective, doesn't it? I think if we think of it that way. Well, in Acts we see the church built not with gimmicks or slick advertising or entertainment, but God's way, which is the way through prayer and through the disciples humbly yet boldly, despite dangers, declaring the word of the cross. In fact, the entire counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation, or to what they had at that point. They didn't have the entire New Testament that we have, of course. They proclaimed Jesus through the Old Testament scriptures. And you can do that, you know. There's many ways. We're not going to go into that tonight. But this is the way of biblical church growth. This is how it happens. And beginning in chapter 13, we come to the missionary journeys of this former persecutor, Paul. And Paul, with his massive intellect, continually preached this message that's foolishness, the message of the cross, facing the trials that he did. And when we come to Acts 20, we find him headed for Jerusalem. And on his way, he sails into Miletus, and he sends for some leaders in the church, which was a church he spent considerable, if I can get the word out, time at, building relationships with people and teaching them. And so now I'm going to begin. You know, you guys didn't think you were going to a conference tonight. You think we could be here for an hour, so I will try to cut this short. So I'm going to begin reading in Acts 20, verse 17. We read, "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord.'" You see, the reality of Paul's saving faith was the reality of his serving love. He said, "I served the Lord with great humility and tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews." And he's Jewish himself, by the way. These were the ones who were opposed to Christ and his work. Paul continues, you know, or Luke continues recording Paul's words, I should say. Luke, under the Spirit, authored the book of Acts. He says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." I'll tell you what, guys, I want to have that kind of faith in me, that kind of boldness in me. He could die, and he's going into the mix anyway for things that are eternal. There was a missionary, Jim Elliot, who his wife was Elizabeth Elliot. She was a great lady of faith for many years, but Jim died in 1956, and he was murdered by the Indians in South America. But he wrote this in college, and I one time said this to a deacon, and he looked at me like I was from outer space when I said it. It's like, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah, I'm dead serious." See, this is what Jim Elliot said. He said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Think about that. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep. You can't keep this life. I don't care. You can listen to prosperity preaching all you want to on the TBN channel or whatever. You know, you're going to die. And I'm going to die. But we're not fools in any other way except being fools for Christ. So we can't keep this stuff. We've got to lay it all out on the line. We've got to live our lives with everything that we have loosely, okay? Knowing that it can be taken from us any moment. Family, friends, whoever can be taken from us. But we have what is eternal in us, and that is the God of this universe. And he has given us a task. And that is the task to finish the race and complete the task that God has given us. So Paul says in verse 24, it's on your overhead, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me." Here it is, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Of course, that's God's favor, which we don't deserve. Now in verse 24, he gives the reason for being willing to face these dangers. Can you and I say these words with Paul and really mean it? That's a good question to ask ourselves throughout this coming week. Can we really say these words with Paul? Acts 20:24. Are we willing to finish this race we're in? Are we willing to complete the task we've been given? Despite the cost, despite the dangers, despite the obstacles, despite the fact that if you talk to somebody about Jesus, they may not want to talk to you anymore. okay? If you tell somebody that you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus because that's what he said, that's not a message that goes over well in 21st century America. I'm not sure it's a message that's gone over well since Jesus actually said those words. In fact, when you read the New Testament, I won't go there, but you know, you have all kinds of guys that say, Jesus, I want to follow you, but first, let me do this. First, let me do that. No, Jesus says, you follow me. And Paul says to us, imitate him as he imitates Christ. He had a dangerous faith, loved ones, a dangerous faith. And I don't know about anyone else, but I want to imitate that faith and see the outcome of my life when all is said and done. And I want to see it to be similar to Paul's with regard to his passionate purpose, which was to reach at all costs the ones for whom Jesus died, so they too could experience that new birth that he experienced on the road to Damascus. The new birth that I've experienced in my life since God reached down to me and apart from any merit of my own, drew me to himself. We need to consider the outcome of his way of life and simply do the two things that are mentioned in the text. This is more of an exhortation than anything else, but I am going to illustrate this, I think, by at least one passage in the book of Acts beyond what we've looked at tonight. He said, finish the race. Sometimes the Bible compares the Christian walk to or the Christian life, I should say, to a worthy walk. Sometimes it's compared to a race. And Paul had no intention when he entered this race of faith to drop out, and it turns out that he did not. He completed the ministry God had given him, and I trust that's his intention as well. You know, that's why I like to read books, too, by ODGs, old dead guys, okay? I know they finished well, a lot of times when I buy books and they don't finish that well, it doesn't turn out well, and it ends badly. So anyway, I guess Paul is an ODG we need to keep our eyes on and follow him as he follows Christ, right? So his eyes were focused on Jesus. And by the way, just say something. Where did he get this determination? I just said it. His eyes were on Jesus. I mean, this isn't rocket science or anything, you know? We don't have to give a 15-point steps to becoming the best you now or whatever. I mean, you remember Mary and Martha? Martha's busy doing all kinds of wonderful things. They're in the house in Bethany, and Martha goes to Jesus something like this. He says, hey, look at all the things I'm doing, and my sister's right there. You know, essentially, the implication is, shouldn't she be helping me? And Jesus said, basically, leave her alone because she's doing everything. You're doing some good things, I think, but she's doing what's needful. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that's what Paul did every single day, sit at the feet of Jesus. From the moment he went to bed tonight, he was thinking about Jesus. And the moment he got up out of bed in the morning, he was thinking about Jesus and how he could be on mission with the one who had died for him and called him to follow him. And we see this wonderful desire to finish well in some words he gave to Timothy. He said, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. I mean, just consumed as a sacrifice. And the time has come for my departure. Paul continues, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. That's 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. And the writer of Hebrews spoke to this when he wrote to the church, let us throw off everything that hinders. We have a profound propensity in the body of Christ to piddle around and fiddle around with things that hinder and lose sight of our mission. Whether it's arguments over music styles, whether it's arguments over what have you, we do that really well. But no, we need to throw off those things. They hinder us. And he continues, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's what Paul did, right? That's what we want to do. The writer of Hebrews continues, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And it continues, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I talked to a young man today who was a little bit weary in ministry, not Nikki, and losing heart. But we've got to, we can't lose heart, guys. We got to keep pressing on, even if we see nothing happening. God said, Jesus said, my Father and I are always working. Do you believe that? Yes. Let's take God at his word and operate by faith. Yes, they are always at work, even if we can't see it. He's knitting the things together, the wonderful tapestry of our lives, and bringing things to completion. And one day he's coming again. We know that for a fact, and that's a good thing. So finishing the race, enduring, keeping his eyes focused on Jesus and the joy set before him kept Paul faithful, fully engaged in the race he was called to undertake. And he wants a church in Kokomo to do that as well. So let's count our own lives and selfish interests worth what Paul counted his life to be worth, and finish the race so we can receive the crown one day and hear the words of our Lord, well done. Those are the words that Paul undoubtedly heard following his execution. And then complete the task I've already said of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. The message of the cross he was determined to share with every person he came into contact with. Let me remind all of us that every person you lock eyes with, I'm locking eyes with some people right now, is of great value to God, more than we can even imagine. Every person has been created in God's image. There's no one you're going to ever meet, I don't care who they are, what they've done, that doesn't have great value in God's eyes, okay? And so they need to have the same value in our eyes. And that can be difficult sometimes. But that's what we need to remember, and that God loved them so much that he died for them, and we need to be sharing our lives with them and our message and the message of hope as well. That's the gospel. That's the ministry Paul received from the Lord. And it's the one he was running before the Lord to declare to everyone who would listen, and he did it with a sense of urgency. That's what we need, a sense of urgency in the church today, and a willingness to live dangerously, a willingness to pray dangerously. You know, I think it was William Carey, and I'm going to get his quote messed up, I'm sure. I think maybe I'll mention the same quote in September. I think I'm preaching a couple days there. But he said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. He was a missionary in India. He had nowhere else to go but God. He didn't rely on anything. He had God, and that was it, and his call, and he went. So that's what we need to do. And let me just show you from Acts chapter 14 what it looked like for Paul to put these two together. You know, his aim was to finish the race. His aim was to complete the task of testifying to the gospel. So let me put these two together in an illustration from Acts chapter 14. He's in Lystra. He's already been in Antioch, Pisidian Antioch, and Iconium, another town, other towns around about. And in Lystra, there was a man who was lame, and he'd been that way from birth. He'd never walked. And this man listened to Paul as he was speaking. And Paul looks directly at him, and Paul saw he had faith to be healed, and he called out, stand up on your feet. And the man jumped up and began to walk. And you know what happened when the crowd saw that? They shouted in the Laconian language, the gods have come down in human form, and they wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas, who were in that area. And in fact, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city of Lystra, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them, to these guys, Paul and Barnabas. But when the apostles, Barnabas is an apostle also, by the way, and when these apostles heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed into the crowd shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We too are only human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. And then Paul went on to describe what's called common grace. You know, everybody's given the same reign, the same ability to provide food and so forth for their families. And then it says in verse 18, even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing them. Now, again, that's Paul and Barnabas. But here's what I want you to listen to. Then some Jews who had been in Antioch and Iconium and heard Paul preach, then they show up in town, okay? And here's where we go. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, and some think maybe he was dead, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up. You know what he did? He goes right back into the city where the people wanted to kill him. The people who had stoned him, they tried, dragged him out and left him for dead. These same people who we might say, they're not worth it. I'm going to go on to some other folks. He loved them so much, he ran back into the city to continue to share the gospel of grace with them and preach to them repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do, even in the face of opposition. That's what we need to do, even when the task is hard, when the race seems long, when we're thinking, man, it would be nice just to be in heaven right now, or it'd be nice even to run away from this because this is too hard. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus, and that's what Paul did, because we got to complete the task the Lord has given to us. And we see that time and time again in Scripture. Church of the Living God, I just want to implore us tonight, finish the race. Here's Hope Church, complete the task regardless of its cost and testifying to the gospel, because Jesus is worth it. He's worth it today. He's worth it tomorrow. He's worth it for all eternity. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you drive this truth into our hearts, that you want us so filled with passion for you, Lord, that even when it gets discouraging, we talk to people, we don't see any fruit, or we get rejected, we just keep going, Lord, just like Paul did. Even if they want to crucify us and kill us, let us keep proclaiming Christ. Let us keep a smile on our face. Let our words be seasoned with salt, as Colossians says. And Lord, let us press into Jesus more and more each day. Because when we do that, the flames of love in us will be fanned and they'll explode into greater love for you and love for our fellow human beings. And then we'll be willing more and more to pay any price, regardless of what it is, to share this gospel of good news. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.